You need involvement. You need to get involved in some real Christmas project.
Maybe Sally was onto something. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
For the greatest present we can give the world is the present of the presence of God in our lives.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. Today, Charles Tapp explains that when we reach out to those in need, we're allowing God's presence in us so that He can also be with them. In his message, God with Us.
In our recent series on worship, we encountered several important revelations as it relates to the dynamic of our relationship between God and man. One of which is that God is not merely the object of our worship, but that God is also the author of our worship. For it is God who is the initiator of this saving relationship that we have been called into. And of course, our heartfelt response to this divine call is then our worship. And as we learn throughout our study of the story of the Exodus, when God called Israel out from Egyptian bondage under the mighty hand of Pharaoh, Scripture is clear in reminding us that it was so that his people could worship him. For while they were held captive behind the Egyptian walls, they were prevented from worshiping God freely. So when they were finally delivered by the hand of God, it was so that their worship with him could be reestablished. This development in Israel's history was not only important to them, but it was equally important with God. For as one studies scripture from Genesis to Revelation, there is one major concept. There's one common thread that appears throughout, and that is God's persistent desire to dwell, to be in the presence of his people. It began in the garden, as we are told in Genesis chapter 3, where our first parents were able to walk with God in the cool of the day. So from the very beginning, dwelling with us or having us in his presence has always been something that has been close to God's heart. For this is how it was always meant to be. And herein lies the tragedy of sin. For it is sin that destroys the very thing that is most important with God, and that is having us with him. And this is what captivity did for Israel. It prevented them from being with God and having God with them. But now Israel is no longer in captivity. And the first thing that God does once he has ratified his covenant with them is to make a request of them to build a sanctuary, to build a tent so that he can dwell right in the heart of the midst of his people. Genesis, it is recorded that God walked with his people. But in Exodus, it reveals that God desires to dwell with them. Now, we know that God is a spirit and he has to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And we recognize that because God is spirit, that his presence cannot be confined by a mere tent. But you see, God wanted Israel to erect this tabernacle of sorts so that they could have with them this visible symbol of his daily presence and protection. For after having gone so many years wondering, doubting if God was still with them while they were in captivity, this tent was now to serve as a constant reminder to Israel that the God that delivered them out of Egyptian bondage is the same God that now desires to dwell with them. Who says amen today? And God commanded them to construct a tent, not some permanent structure, because as they would continue their journey through the wilderness to the land of promise, this structure could also travel with them. For God wanted Israel to understand that now he was in their presence, he would forever desire to be with them. So as they would move forward to the promised land, they could pack up this tent and take the presence of God with them. And that's important for people who for years have felt abandoned, for years have felt discarded. And now God wants to let them know, I'm with you. How many of us have gone through this same kind of experience? We have felt abandoned by God. Let's just be honest today. Whether there have been times in all of our life's journey that we feel we've been dejected by God, thrown aside, tossed to the wind by God. And every once in a while, God has to remind us that even though you may feel abandoned, I am with you. And that's the message he wanted to give Israel through the tent. Wherever you go, I go. Wherever I go. You pack up, I'm packing up with you. Because I, more than anything else, desire to dwell with my people. You couldn't house God in a tent, but God just wanted to let them know, I'm with you. So every time you look at that tent, every time you view that tabernacle, you see my unquenchable desire to dwell with you and to have my people in my presence. In Exodus 25, 1 to 7, God instructs the people as to how his place of residence is to be constructed. And again, we see clearly that when it comes to this thing called worship, it is God who determines how he is to be worshiped. We see in Exodus 25, 9 that God gave Moses the pattern. He gave Moses the design. He gave him the blueprint as to how this is to be constructed. Look at Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 and verse 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering from everyone who gives it, how? Willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. This offering that is mentioned here is simply known as the teruma, which it was a type of free will offering consisting of anything that was necessary for the occasion. So whatever the offering called for, that's what God was asking of his people. So in other words, this was not some tax that was levied upon the people, as we find in Luke chapter 2, where Caesar Augustus issued the census upon the people so that he could tax them. Neither is this similar to the tithe that is mentioned in Malachi 3, which gives us the reference that if you fail to return this tithe, this tenth, that this curse of God is going to be upon you. It wasn't a tithe and it wasn't a tax, but God was asking from his people for a free will offering. Whatever the situation called for, that is what God expected them to give. This offering was to come from a grateful heart. For you see, when the children of Israel were finally delivered from captivity, the Egyptians were so desperate for them to leave because they were just tired of the plagues. You know, every day they woke up to a different plague. They were so ready for them to go. They said, here, take the silver, take the gold, whatever you need, just take it and get up out of here. So they had everything they needed to give God when he called for this free will offering. But every time I read that, I always wonder to myself, why didn't God levy a tax and just get it? Can you imagine if the government just said, well, just give a free will offering and whatever you decide to give us, we'll take that. How many of you had to pay taxes this year? Yeah, okay. Why not just say, okay, just give a tithe. Every household give a tithe and that'll go toward constructing this place, this tent, this tabernacle, this sanctuary so that I can dwell with you. Why not choosing one of those instead of a free will offering? After all, when left to our human nature, many times we will always take the path of least resistance. Why would God potentially jeopardize the building of his sanctuary by leaving it up to the people to determine what they would give? Listen, in breaking the chains that bound the Israelites for so many years, then bringing them to the holy mountain to establish this lifelong covenant with them. God was demonstrating his desire to be with them. For years they were enslaved, and for years they had the promise of a deliverer. But God finally came through, plague after plague after plague, until he broke the back of Pharaoh, and now being able to bring his people out. God was simply saying to them, I desire to be with you. Now I want to see how much you desire to be with me. God's saying, listen, I've done my part. I brought you out. I delivered you. I even invited you into this covenant. But now I'm asking you, not for a tax, not for a tithe, but I'm asking you to give freely of your heart, because I want to know where your heart is. I know where my heart is. God says, I've shown you, I've demonstrated to you where my heart is. I want to be with you. But the question that Israel had to answer was this: did they want to be with God? That's why he said, give freely from your heart, because I need to know, you need to know, because they were not obligated. Even though they promised God in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 3, Lord, whatever you say, we will do. And now here it is, give. Not a tax, not a tithe, but just give from your heart. And don't be afraid. This is not a sermon on money. So just relax. I know we have the budget booster coming up, but trust me, this is not a sermon on money. God just wanted to find out where Israel's heart was. Better yet, he wanted them to know where their heart was, because he knew where his was, and his desire was to be with them. So they said, he said to them, build this tent, not from a tax, not from a tithe, but from your heart. As Paul said, when we give, we shouldn't give reluctantly. We shouldn't give out of compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. And having said all that, let us not forget why God requested this offering in the first place. It was so that they could erect this structure so that God could dwell in the midst of them. So by giving or not giving, in essence, they were telling God beyond a shadow of a doubt whether they really desire him to be with them. Because the only way this temple, this structure, this tent was going to be built was through their free will offerings. So this was simply a test to see whether they truly wanted God to be with them. Have you ever had a relative who came to stay with and you didn't want them with you? Oh, come on, you can stay with us. We've got room. But after they come and a day or two goes by, a couple of days go by, a week goes by, you begin to wonder, do I really want them here? I remember I sabotaged one relative. This was years ago. Years ago. I was a little child at the time. And my mom said, well, sure, you couldn't come. And your child can have Antoine's bedroom. I didn't volunteer my room. What do you mean he can have my room? So it's okay. I waited one night and I went in. Do not try this at home. And I took a warm cup of water. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? And as this person who is now occupying my bed, I just, the hand was just laying across the bed on the side, and I took their finger and just put it in there, and you know what happened after that, right? So I said, don't try this at home. You see, God wanted to know, not just lip service. God truly wanted to know from their hearts whether they wanted him. He has proven to them.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, God with Us. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Your gift reminds someone facing uncertainty that God is with them every step of the way.
I actually just got laid off, so I've just been making it a thing to listen on the way to work in the morning and don't let myself get down. It's been really helpful the past couple days.
When you make a gift of $250 or more, you not only jump in early with the WGTS year-end fundraiser,
you activate a separate gift, providing 10 meals for local families in need this holiday season.
Give today at WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, and today discovering the most beautiful gift you can give others. And it's not something you can find in the stores. We'll find out with the rest of Charles Tapp's message, God with us.
You see, Israel will later come to the understanding of just how important God's presence was for them. Look at Exodus 33, verses 15 and 16. When Moses was dealing with this stiff-necked people, he was doubting whether he could lead them, and God had to come and say, listen, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to go with you. And then Moses finally came to realization, God, if you're not with us, we don't even need to pack up and go. Just stay right here. Oh, if all of us could live by that kind of philosophy today. If God's not willing to go, then we shouldn't be willing to go either. Amen? Too many times as Christians, as children of God, we place ourselves in situations that God is not pleased with, that God will not lead us into, but we go anywhere. But God, Moses said, listen, God, if you're not going, I'm surely not going. I'm going to stay right where you are. Moses understood the importance of having God with him. But now the children of Israel needed to decide in their hearts if they also understood that as well. But as great a revelation as the sanctuary was in demonstrating God's desire to have his people be with them, his willingness to put aside heaven and come in the form of humanity and to take on flesh was the greatest demonstration that God desires to be with us. The world knows this simply as the Christmas story, and the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, God with us. This season, we're all about celebrating, giving gifts to one another, but the greatest recognition of the gifts that we can give this year is the understanding of the gift of the presence of God, not in a tent, but in the life of humanity. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Just put your finger on verse 14. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with. Underline that word, with God. With God. And the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt, literally translated, and tabernacled among us. Referring to the sanctuary of old. For Christ was the real sanctuary. Who says amen? And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verses 1 and 2 it says, and he was with God, meaning that there's a relationship of equality here, that the Word was literally equal with God because the Word was God. But when you go down to the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, where it says, call his name Emmanuel, God with us, that small little preposition with takes on a completely different meaning. No longer does it mean equality with or one with, but now it means in common with. In other words, the God of heaven, the Word, who was equal with God, has now come to be with man, meaning he is one like man. So God will push aside all of heaven to become one like us. Why? Because he has this unquenchable desire to be with us, not in a tent, but in the form of flesh, so that he could understand what we're going through, so he can understand the challenges that we're facing. He can understand the ups and the downs. I'm not in a tent. I'm one of you. And I wondered if Mary really knew when she held in her arms little Jesus that she was really, truly holding God with us. I remember when we had our first child, the first one, Maylene. She's 24 now, lives in Atlanta. I held my daughter before my wife even held her. The doctors cleaned her all up, put her in my arms first. Took me outside the room, put me in a chair, I had the gown on and everything. And he said, "Here, Mr. Tapp, here's your daughter." And I sat there for about 30 minutes, just bonding. I began to look her up from head to toe. And I noticed the head was shaped kind of funny and, you know. But love has a way of looking past all of that, amen? Beautiful young lady now. Looks, you know, mom got the look, so. I looked at her for that 30 minutes and I said, "God, who is this that I'm holding in my arms? What will she become one day? Will she make us proud? Better yet, will she make you proud?" And we just talked back and forth and she just looked up at me like, you know, "Okay, Daddy." God came in the presence of humanity. Why? For some reason, his greatest desire is to be with us to the point where he became one of us. So the question he's asking Israel, better yet, the question he's asking us, do we really want to be with him? Because being with God costs something. Doesn't cost a tax. Having God's presence with us doesn't cost a tithe. But what it costs is our hearts. And God wanted Israel to see whether they truly had given God their hearts. Because it's one thing to say, "We want to be with you while we're in captivity." It's another thing when once you have been freed and things change once you experience freedom. How many of you have been in a tight situation and you were praying that God would get you out of it and you promised God everything from the kitchen sink on? But once he got you out, it was like, "Oh, freedom." And that's the way many of the Israelites were. They started tasting freedom. "Oh, well, God, we just got this gold. You know, we've been poor for so long. Can we hold on to it for a little while longer? Build a tent? Can't you just be with us?" Sure, he could have. But when you come into God's presence, it costs. And God wanted to see if they were willing to give, not based on tax or tithe, but based on a willing heart. And even when Christ was crucified, was risen, and went back to heaven, God still had this desire to be with us. So before Christ left, he gave us the promise of his Spirit, the Parakletos, one who will be with you, one who will walk alongside of you. And Paul says, "Listen, you are now the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit now resides in you." Don't miss this. God desired to be with his people so badly that he said, "Build me a tent. That's good for a while, okay? Now I'm going to come to be one like you. That was good for a while. But better yet, now I want to live in you. For you're the tabernacle that I want to reside in." Question is, do you want me there? I want to be with you. Do you want to be with me? Why is this important? Because when we allow God to be with us, God can now be with the world. For the greatest present we can give the world is the present of the presence of God in our lives. Amen? For when we go visit the sick, it is God with them. When we reach out to the poor and to the homeless and to the distressed and to those who are in prison, it is God with them. Why? Because he lives in us now. So God desires to be with us so that he can be with them. So when we deprive God of being with us, we're depriving God of being with the world. Came across one of my favorite poems. Some of you may be familiar with this. Teresa of Avila, this quote rather. Listen to what she says. She says, Christ has no body on earth but yours, mine. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look at Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. You see, the greatest gift is not from Macy's. It's not something you can put in a box and decorate nicely and give to people you really don't care for. But the greatest gift we can give anyone is the present of the presence of God in us. For when God resides in us, he is now able to be with them. But the question all of us need to come to grips with this holiday season is, we know God desires to be with us. Do we really desire to be with him? For to be with God costs. It doesn't cost a tax. It doesn't cost a tithe. It costs a heart of obedience. Obedience of the wave offering, whatever is being called for at the time, that's what it costs. Whatever God is asking at the time, that's what it costs. Not because God needs our gifts, our property, our material things, but God wants us to know, do we really want to be with him? For God has made it clear, nothing shall keep him from being with us. Paul says, I am persuaded, neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities. And you know the whole thing, right? Nothing shall separate us from God's love. But do we want God to be with us? I pray that we can answer that question. For it will cost. More than lip service, it will cost. My prayer is that we can truly answer as Israel did initially. Lord, whatever you want, whatever you ask, we'll do. Why? Because our greatest desire is not for material wealth or gain, but it is to have you with us. Who says amen today?
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, God with Us. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
But what God requires from you and what God requires from me, dear friends, is the faith that is willing to hold on, that is willing to be determined regardless of our circumstances.
It doesn't always make sense when God says wait. But one of Jesus' greatest miracles never would have happened if he hadn't waited. Next week, Pastor Charles Tapp challenges you to have the faith of Martha, as you'll hear in this story, to be able to say, even now. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Gift reminds someone facing uncertainty that God is with them every step of the way.
I actually just got laid off, so I've just been making it a thing to listen on the way to work in the morning and don't let myself get down. It's been really helpful the past couple days.
When you make a gift of $250 or more, you not only jump in early with the WGTS year-end fundraiser,
you activate a separate gift, providing 10 meals for local families in need this holiday season.
Give today at WGTS919.com.